Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Pasha. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I was just doing a sound check, and here I am.
And here you are. Your sound is good. Yep.
Okay, great.
So, Pasha, you've recently returned from staying at the monastery as a visiting monk, participating in the visiting monk program.
Yes.
And I thought I would just, before we jump in and ask you what you saw as you did that and your experience of that, just for folks who may not have the background, that the Visiting Monk Program is an opportunity for people who have a well-established practice to come and be at the monastery and participate as a resident monk for a length of time, often a month, which is what you are here for, and that we hear rumors that it's quite a powerful way for people to practice. And so we like to regularly invite folks who have had that experience be on the good news and to tell us what they saw. So thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I volunteered to speak at the good news because I'm so overfilled with gratitude. I even tried to write a thank you note, and as I'm writing it, there's less space left on the paper, and my letters go smaller and smaller and smaller. And then I realized, well, I cannot just fit everything. There is so much I receive that I don't think it's we're gonna fit in even in the good news. It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's the best program ever, and. I'm addicted to it. This was my fourth visit in the last 5 years, and
wow.
And I just want to keep going. It's it's so good. It's the best.
Yeah. First, I just love that image of sitting down to write a thank you note to practice,
yeah.
And just giving up. Right? Realizing, well, I could just write for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes. And I want to say thank you for organizing such a program. And I realized only by to getting there, I realized how much it goes into it. And what a gift. Even going on the first one, I thought, well, it's just, 1 month, I take a break from regular life, and I'll be in the monastery, and having just that would be already amazing. But once I arrived, I received, wow, this is a whole program made what it feels just for me, just for that stay of our being there and everything aligned. It just feels like everything works to help Pasha in his practice.
Yeah.
And it just brings me to tears to receive, way more than expected, to receive more than I feel like I can receive.
Yeah. Beautifully put. That's very moving. And Pasha, do you have a sense of what is it about participating as a monk that's been so impactful for you? What would you say about that?
Well, for me, it's like a lifesaver. It's it's like you practice, you're like swimming to another shore, and you're swimming and you're swimming and. Sometimes it feels like I'm drowning.
Uh-huh. Like
and,
you're drowning. Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm drowning, and he's I can just because it's booked in advance. It's something that I know I'm going to, and few times I was in a place when I'm counting days before it starts. As I'm hitting some hard places in practice, but then I know I'm not gonna drown. I'm this is bringing me back. For years, it was my San Francisco sitting group, where I can just show up. I can just show up. Doesn't matter what happened. Even I didn't meditate that day, or even I completely falling out of practice. It's just there for Pasha. Yeah. So, that visiting monk program. I'm just booking a next one as soon as I come back home from the current.
Yeah, that's so perfect. Two things I want to underline. One, that place of we practice when we, quote, need it and when we, quote, don't need it. So we don't look to conditioning, right, to see, oh, I'm desperate, I better practice.
Yeah.
Or, oh, no, I'm good today. I don't need to go to the sitting group. And that your strategy of booking the next one as you're leaving this one is so perfect, you know, because what we realize, it's such a, just as you were talking about the, you know, feeling like, gosh, I might be drowning, but I realize that I've got this commitment. I'm going to the monastery for a month. Just making the commitment, so even before we get there, is such a communication to ourselves. Practice is really important. It's the foundation of my life.
Yes.
And so we know that even if I'm struggling and I'm going through whatever I'm going through, that commitment is there no matter what. And practice is always going to be there for us, and we're always going to put ourselves in practice.
Yes. And especially I value that program being available, because I missed it once. And when I missed once, I realized, wow, this is so valuable. What's that saying? You know, we don't value until we lose it. So
that's right.
Just losing it once or missing booking in advance bring me to realization that this is essential. This is part of my life, and I don't want to miss it anymore.
Yes. That you have a commitment to do it, regardless of what the conversation might be or how you're feeling or what's going on, that it's just a foundational piece of your practice.
Yes. And I cannot list the benefits I received from that practice. It feels sometimes there is a best friend that is there at the monastery waiting for me. And we have that reunion once a year. I'm going there, and he is there for me. And it takes me a few days to arrive, and then we are together. And then anything can happen. Doesn't matter, because we are together. It's like your lover, like your best friend. I'm not a religious person, but it feels like sometimes the God holds my hand.
Yeah. Beautifully stated. And you know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, and we do need that best friend, because I think one of the benefits of monastic practice is that we do experience everything. You know, in a way. So when you're at the monastery for a month and you're not on an official retreat and you're just here, you know, working meditation and doing dishes and meditating and, you know, all the things we do, you're going to experience the whole gamut, right?
Yes.
All
yes.
of it. Much, much more like we do in our everyday lives.
Yes.
And so to have that best friend right there with us is so, so key. And the more we flex that, you know, we build that skill of finding that best friend, the more that best friend can be available, I would imagine, everywhere, not just at the monastery.
Yes, and I'm working on building relationship with him, and it's expanding. It's it becomes more available. But there, it's just like he's standing there, Yeah, and it also, like you said, I bring all the everyday problems there with me, but there is space between them. There, I can look at them one at a time. I can look at them from different angles. I can hold them. I can study them. I can see how they are grabbing me, and it's just not available in everyday life. But
no,
there,
it isn't.
It's so clear. It's not. Those problems are not me, and there is a distance from which I can see them. I can study them, and it gets lighter. It gets lighter. I don't know through what magic it becomes. it becomes doable.
Yeah, I think we call that magic presence.
Yes. Oh yes, we can. Just presence to the food, just having a good food for a month, it's a huge benefit for the body. And I don't know what else. Maybe it's because exercise, or maybe the food or something. But I also check with my doctor. We do this test for the condition I have, and now she has a graph of those results over the years. And she is saying, wow, I don't know what you're doing, but you keep doing that. I'm trying to explain here, well, I'm going to this retreat, it's a month, it's a vegetarian food, it's this and that, but it's just like, I can't describe it, so many things, and I don't know which exactly, maybe it's a combination of all of them, but my body is having visible changes, and I can feel it. I can feel it, in every place. From like even changing the button on my watch, I have to put it on a different hole. It feels like it's expanding. It's like healthier. Yeah, I'm also working like 8 days, kind of in a sitting in office job. So for me, it's a huge vacation to go be in nature, sleep under the stars, have steps and have those kind jobs. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and we do have to turn it over to Sherry and Michael Pasha, but I have to say that as much as you and other visiting monks talk about the gratitude of the opportunity, and as you say, how much goes into having someone be here, it's an enormous benefit for certainly us at the monastery, for the folks who live here full time and practice, and also for all of practice to have that boost of someone who has that courage and willingness to come and spend a month practicing. And certainly there's all the contribution of another set of hands doing dishes and cooking meals and helping with the monastery grounds. That's huge, but especially the sincerity of the practice that comes with it. So deep gassho to you for your willingness to participate in that way and for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Deep gassho to all and whole Sangha and everybody who makes that monastery and all the monks and people who are supporting this practice that makes it possible. And we haven't finished. I mean, there's so many more things I want to say.
Exactly.
So we have to do it again.
We
because,
have to do it again.
Yes, it just doesn't fit in 10 minutes. I'm sorry. And
how about we make it an annual event to go right along with your visiting monk?
Okay. Yes, deal. Thank you so much.
All right. Pasha, thank you so much for being with us. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Pasha. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. That was an inspired practitioner there, wasn't he?
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, I thought, now that sounds good to me. I want to go eat that food and sleep under the stars. I can.
Yes. Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah. It's really good.
How are
it
you?
Is fun. Good. Great. Getting ready to head to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to do a retreat.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Yes. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good retreat. Just, packing everything up and, then reading over the retreat and that sort of thing, and then start getting excited. And then you see the list of people who are going to be there and think, oh, my gosh, luckiest people on the planet get to spend days with those folks. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
Oh, good.
We've added a new section to the recording and listening website called the Power Tool. This new section describes two-handed recording and listening practice and includes an audio from the guide and ways that Sangha has used and benefited from this practice.
Oh, fun. Power Tool.
Yep.
That's good, isn't it? That's very good. Very good. Very clever. Mm-hmm. It's true,
so you
too.
Can check out this. Yes, great. And you can check out the new section at the website, recordingandlistening.org. That's all spelled out, recordingandlistening.org.
Mm-hmm.
Two new group coaching opportunities will be starting up in September. There's Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st. And Mornings with the Mentor, beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
Yes. And get support for catching conditioning's bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 15th. So be on the lookout for bamboozles and record how many you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
And sign up to come to the walk and to get your T-shirt and all like that.
Yeah.
See, I can say that because I feel like such a good citizen because I did that.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
You're the right person.
I am the good right person. Exactly. Yes, in this one case.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
And for these and other practice opportunities, go to livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and 5 minutes is really helpful.
Indeed.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from Washington.
Well, hello, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. This is the first time I've ever called in, and I'm the first person in line.
I know. Is the heart kind of racing a little bit?
Yes, a little bit.
A bit of excitement?
Yes, and I'm just so grateful that we have the opportunity to talk with you and listen to the programs every week. So,
And all those years of archives, huh?
Yes, which I've been listening to, and I want to sign up to be a visiting monk.
very good. All right.
Yeah, but what I called to talk about was obsessing about food. I wanted some guidance on that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little about it.
Well, I spent a lot of time thinking about food and compensating with food. And like when I'm traveling, which I am now, I'm always looking for the perfect restaurant. And when I'm eating at a restaurant, I'm planning about where I'm going to go next. And if the food isn't very good at a restaurant, then I'll compensate by having some kind of sugar or soft drink. And so it's like kind of like an insane thing. And, yeah.
And so is it a problem? I mean, aside from eating restaurant food and sugar and soft drinks.
I know nothing's a problem, but the issue... is
that's what I mean.
I think it keeps me from being present and
yes, that I'm sorry, I'm being very unclear. Yes, that is definitely an issue. I'm just wondering if it also turns into a health issue or if it's a weight issue or a weight health issue or
no, it's not a weight issue. It's more like, I don't know, I guess not being here or trying to manage anxiety or insecurity or this not being good enough. I think there's a lot of conditioning telling me, well, this isn't quite good enough. This food isn't quite good enough, so better get something better. So,
go ahead.
Well, when I'm present, I don't need anything better, but... I'm not, like, well, things could certainly be better. But and the deal is I seem to be so caught up in this, so I'm just waiting for some guidance on some kind of practice or just some, I want to move on.
Well, of course, and it sounds like with a lot of this, you're on your own. I mean, you're not traveling or eating with somebody else. This is your deal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so of course, you know, my first go-to technique is recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And the recordings that help you remember what is true for you about food and about adequacy and what's wrong and obsessive thinking and what it does to your life when you're not present. And to have those recordings available whenever you're in a situation where this is going to be a problem. Because I bet a lot of the time it's not a problem, right? Because you're going about doing whatever it is that you're doing in your day. Yeah. And so when there's a gap where conditioning... Probably, if you're like the rest of us, conditioning doesn't have you in a particular situation, and so this is the default, right? So if there's nothing else going on, if it's time for a meal or if you're traveling or that sort of thing, then this is sort of the default. She'll obsess about food. We can count on that. So the second piece of that, and again, I think the recording and listening is the best tool that we have to support this next thing that I'm talking about. And that is to have something that you decide you want to use as a tool or a technique to help you stay present. And the kind of thing, of course, that people have used forever is something like a mantra or focusing on the breath, staying with the body, the sensations in the body. And so looking at what of those kinds of techniques is most helpful for you.
Okay.
Do you have a sense of that?
Something that it's hard for me to stop, or maybe that's what conditioning is saying. So when I, if I ever stop and take 10 breaths, that usually, mindful breaths, that will often bring me present. And give me permission to stop.
Okay. Now, the difficulty with that, of course, is you have to stop.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And so if you're on the go, then it's easy to get talked out of that. So
right.
My encouragement would be to start with the recording, and to because if you're by yourself, there's no reason, really, you can't be listening to recordings all the time.
Right.
True?
That's true, yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know, you're on an airplane or you're driving somewhere or you're waiting for your food or you're walking to the restaurant or whatever it is. You can be listening to recordings that support you through this. And so to create the recordings that are going to help you with this specific situation,
mm-hmm.
and commit to listening to them all the time. Now, the wonderful thing about that is that we very quickly, as I'm sure you know, we are using essentially against conditioning what conditioning uses against us. So what you're describing is a situation in which a human being has been talked to often enough, repeatedly enough, that she just is comfortable living in that conversation. Yes?
Yeah. Well, except I'm uncomfortable, and that's why I'm calling.
Well, yes. Yes, that is true. You don't like what's happening with this, but it is the default position.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
And, of course, yeah.
Oh, well, you said to make recordings about what I know to be true about being present and what I know I think to be true about food, and I don't, at this moment, I'm not understanding what that is, what I know to be true about food.
Okay. So it's exactly what you described to me. You would have, if you listen back to the archive of this, you would have a lot of clues about what to record. So you know that this conversation exists to distract you and also perpetuate certain things like anxiety and fear of inadequacy and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it manipulates you. It keeps your attention out of the present.
Right.
And that it doesn't actually matter, the content of it doesn't actually matter to you. The food, you pick the best restaurant you can pick. You pick the best meal you can pick. It is what it is, right? Your happiness and well-being, it does not rest on whether or not you can find the perfect meal.
Right.
And so, yes, so like that. You realize that you don't want to be in this conversation. It doesn't take care of you. It doesn't add anything to your life. You actually want to be present. Now you can go into recordings about being present, right? That what you want to do is feel your feet on the earth, and you want to feel your body moving as you walk, and you want to smell what's around you and see what's around you. You want to be present. Okay? You with me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
I am.
And so it...
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yes, I am, totally. This is great.
Okay. So what you're doing is creating a soundtrack for your life, because the only things you're recording are things that are true about you and for you. And you listen to that.
Yeah.
And as you listen to that, it reinforces what you know to be true about you and for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, and that would be a great place to start. And the whole comfort thing, you'll realize how comfortable ego is with where it has you when you attempt to change what it does to you. The resistance to making those recordings, the resistance to putting those earbuds in your ear and turning that recorder on, it's going to be massive, right? Because it's what it's doing to you is a brainwashing process. And what we do with recording and listening is undo that, okay? Because instead of being taken into an imaginary artificial world that doesn't exist, that just is inside conditioned mind, the recordings are bringing you back to the present, back to right here, right now, in your body, in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, then, there's a second piece of it that I would recommend, and that is that you decide on something that you want to use to train attention to come back to you. And it can
okay.
be anything that you like. If there's a particular quote that you like, or you know, we have the daily recollection. If if there were a stanza in that a person liked, or I enjoy I Choose Unconditional Love. Sometimes people tell me they use the Yes Please Thank You I Love You. Okay, and you're training yourself to bring your attention back here by repeating that.
Right. I know as you're talking, I'm tearing up because I remember my experiences with that last mantra, yes, please, thank you, I love you, you know, because that does bring me present. And so that,
yes.
I just feel touched. And
yes. I'd say that's a good one for you then, huh?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a process. Right? It's a process.
It's a process,
and,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're training yourself, and that's what you're doing. So people who do this kind of thing often compare it to training a puppy. You know, you love that puppy, and you want it to be safe, and you want it to be with you, and our attention is just like that. You love that attention. You want it to be safe. You want to keep this human being safe by making sure the attention is well taken care of. So you're kind to it, and you just practice. Just come back here. Be back here. Come on, back here. Let's be here. Isn't it beautiful here?
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful here. Yeah?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so very much, and thank you to Michael, too, for hosting this.
Always being here for us, huh?
Yep.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was a great conversation, Sherry.
Good reminders, huh? And one of the things I like best about that is in a conversation like that, we realize we know. We know exactly what's going on. We know what we want.
Yes.
We know what to do. We have it. We've got it. We just need to put it in an order and then practice it.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's great you provide that bigger perspective, that structure for how to bring that all together.
Mm. Well, and of course, that makes my job kind of easy because when we're outside of somebody else's process, it's pretty easy for us to see it. It's seeing our own that's tricky, which is why it is wonderful to have Sangha to practice with. Right, because we do have somebody who is that we can trust, has our best interest at heart, and they can see our process and help us step back and see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, goody!
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Can you hear me?
Can. We can.
Oh, my gosh. This is Karen from North Carolina.
Well, yes, now I recognize your voice, Karen from North Carolina. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm on my iPad, and this is just so fantastic. It's working.
Yes. It's always fantastic when it's working, especially when Mercury is retrograde. It's really fantastic when technology works.
And it started today. Yes, I am on that for sure. But
funny, Karen. I've had people texting me and calling me and emailing me all day with reports of their disasters, their Mercury retrograde disasters. I don't know why. I guess I'm kind of people associate that with me. I'm not sure it's something I particularly want to be associated with, but there we have it. There's some funny things happening in this world, I will tell you that.
Well, it is a part of our awareness and our discussion every, like, three times a year, so there you go.
That's right. That's right, it is.
There must be something
to
it.
What's going on with you?
Well, this is so magical that, I mean, well, okay, so I'm not often available on Tuesday nights, and I am tonight, and so I called in early, and I just did the star six number one thing, because why not? You know?
Exactly. You're here, you might as well participate.
And then, you know, I was doing some things in the kitchen, because, you know, it's like 8:30 my time, and then I thought, no, sit. So Pasha was on. I sat down. I want to sit down, and I'm going to be present to this whole show. I'm not going to be doing other things. I want to be present to everything that's happening so I can participate fully.
Uh-huh. Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. And I love the, I mean, I've been a visiting monk for several times, and I really want to, you know, put a plug in for that. It's just the most wonderful thing in the world. And then just to sit down and be present to the call and
be with Sangha.
And be with Sangha and the energy, the well-being, feeling connected, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have anything really going on right now. What was interesting, though, because, let's see. Okay. I get bamboozled when I'm talking in groups. I've been looking a lot about just being in more loving kindness with my partner in my home life.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the most miraculous loving thing to be able to step back from what ego wants and just step into just being present and when I'm more loving to someone else in my life, then I'm being loving with this human being as well.
Boy, isn't it the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, I often talk with people about relationships because, you know, relationships tend to be important to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the fact that you start out with somebody, I mean, you picked him out. There are a lot of possibilities in this world. You picked him out, right? Because you like him. He's a good person, right? And then, over time, conditioning goes to work on us. They're just working on us. The voices are working on us and working on us about the other people in our life. And they're just campaigning for unhappiness, for dissatisfaction, because they're a dissatisfaction suffering system, right? That's what that voice in the head is. Or those voices, because sometimes they talk in many tones, don't they? And so they're just angling, campaigning. This is what's wrong. This is what's wrong. Why do you that? Why do you that? Why do that? No, I don't like that. That's it. Until finally, an awful lot of people, as we've noticed, just say, okay, I'm done. I don't want to do this any longer. And the belief is it's because there's something wrong with the other person. When the only thing that's wrong is with the voice of ego in my head. That's the only problem that exists. Without that, I don't have any problems. And if I decide to do what you're saying, which is to be as kind and loving as I can to the people in my life, then my life experience is kind and loving, and miraculously, I don't have any problems.
Yes, and what it teaches me is that I can see how the unkindness, the lack of self-acceptance, how that gets turned on to me. That disappears.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
uh-huh.
If I'm unkind to someone else, I know that that's how ego is unkind to me.
Yes, yes, exactly so. And it's a twofer, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a twofer, because if we can be talked into being unkind to somebody else, there's unkindness to ourselves, unkindness to somebody else, and it just gets to reverberating, right? Because then you're a bad person for having been that way, and then you have to be defended because, well, it's not, you're not the only one who's that way. He's that way too. I mean, he's not perfect. And then the beating comes back to you because you're so critical and judgmental, and the whole thing is your fault anyway, because if you were the right person, this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, you could probably be the right person if you had a better partner. And it's just a sad, it's a sad circumstance that never had to be.
And if we look at how you do anything is how you do everything, you could plug in any content to that process.
Yes.
And that's the whole beauty of this practice. I am experiencing such benefits from practice these days. I guess I am, because kindness showed up for me to talk about tonight. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. And as I'm talking, there is this resistance going on, like, oh, you shouldn't be talking about this. So this is exactly what I should be talking about. There is this place.
Isn't it amazing how it's that way?
Yeah. So, but there is this place that I'm seeing of and experiencing, just that.
Yes. Yes. And so we can watch. Once we learn about projection, we can watch our projections, and we can see how we are being treated through how we are treating others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It is sobering.
It really is.
Uh-huh. Yep, and I'm
it
having,
really is.
And I'm having the time of my life. I mean, I'm just so grateful. And I'm so happy that I was able to call in and press *6. And I just
and that, that iPad is working.
Oh my gosh, the screen's black and I'm talking and you're listening and I can hear you and you can hear me. I mean, and I'm looking out the window in the North Carolina mountains, and this is like kind of, the twilight zone.
Or heaven.
Or heaven. Well, it is heaven. But the technology thing is very astounding to me. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I have to tell you, I'm grinning ear to ear. So, yes. Thank
well,
you for
I am
that.
Too. I am too.
All right. I bet Michael is too. I can't see him, but I bet he is too.
Oh, and one last
yes,
thing.
I am.
One last thing. I so wanted to be in Pennsylvania this week, and I'm really, really mentoring and loving the part of me who can't be there.
Yes, that's a difficult place, isn't it? And and it's a funny kind of problem, if you will, a funny kind of problem to have. You know, I can't do all the practice things that I would like to do. Wow.
Well,
it's
really a heart-opening place to really dive into that and extend that kindness and love, because I actually will be there.
In spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we are not separate.
That's right.
And
that's
I
right.
actually
and if you stay in that awareness and that enjoyment, then you can be with us and everything else that's going on all the time. All
Yoo-hoo!
We have to do, all we need do is stay here, and we get it that we're everywhere.
when we're here, we're everywhere, and that is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Thank you. Take
good night,
care.
Carrie.
Good night.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. That was a very fun conversation, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it points at something that is so subtle and so big, because with that, you know, I want to be on retreat in Pennsylvania, and my life circumstances are not such that I can. And what conditioning, what, of course, conditioning doesn't want anybody to go on retreat, let's face it. But as soon as you're not going to go on retreat, then it'll start in with, I wish I could be there. Oh, they're going to have such a good time. I'm always left out. I never have. I mean, back in grammar school, I didn't get picked for the team, right? I'm always on the outside. And so, boom. Rather than where Karen is going with it, which is, it is so marvelous that that's where I want to be. And that in my heart, I can be there. I can be with the people that I love doing what I love to do. I am with the people that I love, and I am doing what I love to do. And nothing has changed, right? And that, we can watch that across the board. When we're in a conversation in conditioned mind, the negativity is there, and we suffer. When we are here and present, we realize that we have everything that we need right now, and we can be joyous with exactly this.
It's the power of directing the attention.
It is, and it is as simple and powerful as that.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Which is a little bit ago what we were talking about with Carol, right? All of that is learning to direct the attention, because when we can direct the attention, we are free. Until then, it's a rough old slog. Because attention is being directed, right? It's either I'm directing attention, you're directing attention, or conditioning is directing attention. It's always being directed. Yes. And freedom comes from us being the one doing the directing instead of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate being the one directing our attention.
Yes, and the real gift is having a practice that is supporting us every moment and showing us every tip and trick with extraordinary role models and success, and it's just fabulous.
It really is. Yep, we are truly, truly fortunate. We say that all the time. We must never lose sight of it. You know, practice will take us just as far as we want to go. We can have a life that's better. We can have a better egocentric life if that's what we want. There's the tips and tools and everything that we need to do that. Or we can live in ecstatic union with the ground of being. It's all available to us. It's just what we choose. Or we can go on suffering. That choice is also absolutely available to people all the time. And no hard feelings. No judgment, no hard feelings, no anything. It's one of the things I like best about Buddhism. Everybody gets to choose. We all get to have the experience that we choose. And as we're fond of pointing out, the way that we can know that that's true is we're having that now. We are currently having the experience that we choose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
It is. It's a grand and glorious thing. I bet you have a message for us, don't you?
How did you know that? Okay, you are correct, Sherry. We are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we will be right back.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, Sherry, and we have another caller here.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jim in Charlotte. How's it going?
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. This is a challenge for me because I, for the first time, you know, like to think, or EKC likes to think about what I'm going to say, and it's got to be impressive. And I was like, I'm
important
just
and insightful.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so I've called in plenty of times, but never like this. And right before Michael said, you know, next caller, it's your turn. I was like, oh, no, please don't be me. Please don't be. And here I am. So.
And you're fine.
Yes, and I'm fine. And I'm fine.
Yeah. And if I may,
yeah,
it's really important for us to recall in times like this that our practice is about being present in the moment with whatever is, not about
yeah.
being well rehearsed or knowing what we're going to talk about or having the right answer. It's just, I'm here. Somebody says something. Somebody, and Michael says, next caller, you're live on the air. Will you please, you know, tell us who you are? And you go, okay. And then what's there? Right? That's what we're going to look at. What's there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think I'm just being told a lot of stories about what practice is and how I'm doing practice and you know this is a great example because as I'm on this call, I'm becoming more present and expansive and oh yeah, just like you were saying, you know, we know these
yep.
things and we just get reminded and
yep.
like, oh yeah, and I'm getting inspired about practice again and I you know, I feel like that is that you know, that's a thing with meditation and recording and listening and it doesn't work, sometimes do this
yes.
And so it's helpful every time it's helpful like that.
Yeah, because what we get is what, in quotes, doesn't work is listening to those negative voices. That really doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
But the amount of conditioning that we have that being the good, right person is listening to those voices so that we'll be corrected, so that we'll do the right thing, so that we will, in fact, be the good, right person. And the whole thing is just a load of horse pucky. There's nothing valuable in any of that information.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about, like, doing the right thing and, you know, not letting anybody down, you know, I'm noticing that there's been a lot of that lately. That it's like just a script, and it's an identity that
mm-hmm.
seems to run a lot. And the more awareness practice that I do, the more I'm able to say, oh wait, that's just it's just a process, and what's going on here. And you know, sometimes that is able to. Well, I would say, you know, most of the time, that helped me to, well, this call is a perfect example. Like, things were, I missed the deadline, and I was still working to meet the deadline, even though I missed it, frustrated, and there was a piece in there about, well, you should throw a tantrum because this dissatisfaction.
At least feel bad.
Right. And I remember you saying, like, you know, just get up and change the energy. So I went on a walk, and I was like, oh, well, it's Tuesday, and I could call into the radio show, but I don't have anything to say. But I'll call into the radio show, and so, like, that, and now that whole,
there you
I could have sat and stewed in that place, but now in a,
yes.
in a different place.
Yes, yes. And what we get to see in that, what everybody gets to see who watches, you know, who listens to what you're saying and identifies completely, because that's what happens to all of us, that supposedly if you sit and stew and you feel bad enough and you're miserable enough, that's somehow going to magically turn you into a person who doesn't ever miss a deadline. And when we step back from it, we realize, well, that's just flat out stupid, because how does feeling bad about missing a deadline help me not miss a deadline? If that process worked, I would have never missed a deadline. I would have never done anything wrong, in quotes. I would have been a perfect person from kindergarten forward, if that process worked. But it doesn't work, and we know it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That last thing I'll say, and I'll let somebody else hop on, is the good news update about the Busy Monk program was really inspiring. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking, my gosh, like, I was literally, we talked about heaven, I was literally living in a kind of paradise on earth. Like, everything was sort of, even the way you wash dishes was this gratifying process and allowed me to be mindful. And it was, I mean, truly, like, I was just kind of marveling at, like, that was like paradise on, and I got to experience it while I was alive. And then it occurred to me, but there was definitely a voice there that was grumbling, and it was like, this is the opposite of paradise.
Right.
And if you would have just listened to the voices, it was nowhere near paradise, but there were clues, like the way that my body was responding when Pasha talked about me. I didn't always have trouble with insomnia, and I would fall right to sleep, and I would wake right up, and I mean, just all of these magical things almost, I mean, truly magical things were going on with the way life was responding to that place, and just the practice experiences that happened. A little tiny voice when I was trying to go off and be angry said, just stay here, or something like that, and I'll never forget that voice that said, just stay here. And but yeah, I mean, it's just living in paradise. And if you would have had egocentric karmic conditioning, write a report. You know, it's just remarkable how that it works like that.
Well, and Jim, what you're saying is just critical for all of us to remember, because that experience that is heaven for the heart is hell for ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it will do any and everything to keep people from having that heavenly experience, to keep people in that feeling bad, going over what I did wrong, I missed the deadline, I'm going to sit here and stew, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. You know, all getting to see ego so clearly, such that we are not confused any longer, that when something is screaming and yelling and complaining and threatening and writhing around, that's ego. Our authentic nature, our heart, never does that. Never, 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 never.
Well,
I was just, somebody sent me. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that one of the beautiful gifts of practice, I've been able to notice that despite what's going on, the tone and the feel of presence is, I'm beginning to tease apart, okay, this is, even though there's not a bad beating conversation going on, this is not presence. It has this kind of icky, shallow feel. But let me return to being present. And so there's a different kind of energy and tone that is helpful, even though, like you're saying, when you're in heaven, ego wants to portray it as hell. And it's been
that's been very helpful. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So somebody sent me a possible peace quote, something that I said in another conversation. And it was, the heart never screams no. That's always ego. And then somebody said, well, but what if you're being attacked? You know, won't the heart scream no if you're being attacked? And the answer is actually no, it won't. Now, I mean, people would just have to be in that situation and find that out for themselves. But no, actually, no matter what the circumstances are, you know, we've got the still small voice that says, that might not be the best place for you, or I'm right here with you, whatever it is. But that no, that griping and complaining and I don't want to, or I hate this and this is awful and I've got to get out of here, that's always ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good to recognize that difference, isn't it? And as you say, it's on a continuum. And so even when it's just, this low-level kind of, that's still ego. It may not be screaming and yelling, but it really doesn't want you to be present.
Yeah, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, thank
good.
You.
Good. Thank you, Jim. It's amazing, isn't it? We had plenty to talk about. Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
Uh-huh. I love those. Those are the best ones, actually, right? We think, I'm going to be on the radio show. I'm going to sound like an idiot if I don't have a script in front of me. And then if we try to have a script, we're not really present, and then we get off the call and the voices are saying, oh, my God, you blew that. What were you thinking? What were you doing? And then the person comes on and says, I don't have anything to talk about it, and we just go off to right here, right now, with this, have these fabulous conversations. We can learn a lot from that. We can go through every moment of life exactly like that, and life will give us everything that we need to say, everything we need to know, what to do next. It's a perfect program.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for one more caller here, Sherry, at least.
Good, good, great.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
Hi,
how are you doing?
I'm doing really well and wanted to talk about collusion, bamboozle number eight.
Oh, it's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I've seen so much. I bamboozled I have been. And I'm...
The stories I could tell, the bamboozled I have been.
The bamboozled I have seen. For example, how you were talking with someone earlier tonight about making choices and choosing presence. Well, one of the bamboozles I've been dealing with was like conditioning had me believing that I was choosing its experience. I was choosing to be identified, making me bad and wrong, and this was all my fault. I was a bad person. I was a bad Zen student.
You know better. Is it that aspect of it? You know better. You know what centered is. You know how to do this. You've been practicing forever, and you're not doing it. So obviously, you're choosing to suffer.
Yep, and you can't tell anyone about this because, it's ugly, and, after all these years of practice.
Proof that you're evil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what freedom. Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, you mean that's really not me? And it's an identity that is closer to me than my skin. It's like, oh, and just sort of it started shaking up all of these mental constructs that, you know, this is, you mean if that's not me? And then I dropped into that very, very Zen place of, well, then who am I?
Then what is this?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
inquiry. You know, Renita. Oh, go
tell
ahead.
Tell me.
Just well, the inquiry. I think that what you're describing is the trap of good people, especially spiritual people. Because there's such a deep desire to be good and to do the right thing. That's such a deep desire for that, that it's mm-hmm. easy to be talked into you're not meeting the standard. And once that has started, once that is put in play, then all the voices have to do is just keep piling on the proof. Because the person, in this case you, is not going to go back and say, now wait a minute, what if that original premise is not true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just too far down, we're just too far gone at that point to question it.
Yes, yes, and only reading the collusion piece in the Big Bamboozle, reading that, it was like, uh-oh, I started feeling, uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. And a lot of very foundational beliefs and assumptions started getting revealed. And you're exactly right. You know, it's like I want so badly to practice and to experience the fruits of practice that when the fog of conditioning comes in, I have myself convinced I'm doing it wrong, it's my fault.
Yep.
And it's a downward spiral from there.
Yes, yes, yeah. And, you know, I often, we all, but especially me, I lead the charge on that process is so rotten, so evil, so hateful, so horrible. Now, I get it that it's also what drives us to awaken, right? Because it is such a hideous thing. But just to see it in the way that we're talking about it now, here's somebody whose primary motivation in life is to be a good person, the best person they can be. And the reward that they get for that deep heart's desire is a lifetime of suffering because
mm-hmm.
you're not doing it. You're not meeting the standard. You're failing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so cruel. Yeah,
it's so cruel, and as I hear you say that, the ice of the heart is melting, you know, that feeling of tears coming up and the heart warming and settling into it's all okay, that this is another trick, and I am not that. That is not me.
And, yes, and hopefully it's going to give you a clear, even if it's a fleeting, it'll give you a clear picture of the goodness, the sincerity of the spiritual aspirant, the person who had that first turning toward, that first experience of that which you're seeking is causing you to seek, right? And to get a sense of that person and just be awed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the word for the feeling now, the sensations moving through the body now, you know, the preciousness
mm-hmm.
of having the fog part and having people I can talk with about this. And I am no longer locked into that conversation and that belief system. Even when it comes up again, every time I see it, it's weakened. It's weakened.
Yes. Yes. And now what you get to do is move into that clarity, that loving kindness, the compassion, the generosity that is the authentic nature, and embrace that human being who has received so much abuse and misunderstanding and this hateful, lived in that hateful conversation, you to embrace her into what at the deepest level she knew all along was who she is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Because she just kept showing up and kept trying, kept mm-hmm. trying in spite of, right? She didn't just fall off into a gutter somewhere and decide that opium was the way to go, right? In spite of all of that abuse, she kept showing up in her attempt to be the right person. And all the time, she was.
Oh, deep, deep gratitude. I'm going to go run and get
it's astounding.
My quarter. It's astounding.
Okay, good. Yes, yes. Yeah, and don't forget, this is being recorded. So in case, she wants to hear this conversation again, which she might, and maybe give you some tips on what she would like to hear to remember this, that's available.
Thank you, and I will see you in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yes.
It's so exciting. And we'll have Karen there with us. And any and everybody else who wants to be there with us, we'll our hearts will be together.
I was thinking the same thing. Our hearts are wide open and we're all connected. So,
exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramita.
Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Ramita. I will certainly join you in spirit there, Sherry.
Good. Good. I can't remember when it's over and if we have a radio show, but I'm sure the powers that be are taking care of all of that. So, but I'll make sure that you're there and we know it. How about that?
Wonderful.
You do your part on your end and I'll do my part on my end and there will be.
Yes, and that was a fabulous conversation and a great show, and I am inspired and grateful. So thank you.
Me too, Michael. Me too. Take good care of yourself.
Okay, you too.
All right. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.